Anyway, this morning we're going to continue with this summer series, Finding Purpose in Everyday Life. And this morning in particular, we're thinking about work opportunities. We're going to try to think about work in a broad sense, but I shall share something of my journey when I was working in the manufacturing industry, because for me that taught me a lot of things. From finishing university until I went, till I turned 40 really, I worked in manufacturing industry, and this was the second company I worked for, and it was the company I was at for most of my working life. It's in the wonderful town of Loughborough in the Midlands of Steve Coe fame. I worked there. Today, apparently, it's a much smaller company, but when I started work there, we had 3,500 employees. We had more vacancies in the company than there were registered unemployed in the town. So work was incredibly busy. And one of the challenges I faced was relating my Christian faith to what I did at work. At one stage, I was spending between 50 to 55 hours a week at work. And if that was just about earning money to support me so that I could serve God in the church, then it seemed to me that my Christian life was not much more than a hobby. I needed to find Christian significance in the work I was doing because it was taking up such a large proportion of my life at that time. And so this morning we're going to think about how work can be an opportunity to serve God. Now that could be paid work, but we want to think about it in a broad way. It could be volunteer work. It could be the work we do caring for children or for elderly family members or looking after the home. It could be the work we're putting into looking for a job. It could be any sort of work. I will share something of my experience in paid work in industry, but I hope the lessons that we look at will apply to us in whatever situation we find ourselves working. We're going to explore what we can learn from some of the experiences that Joseph went through as he served God, not in church, but in his various work situations. And we are going to pick up the story after Joseph's brothers sold him to the Ishmaelite traders. So going to read from Genesis 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officers, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in his house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Actually, just as I was reading that, I was reminded of something else that's probably worth saying. Notice that Joseph was a blessing to Potiphar, whom he was working for. And just, you know, to pray that we will be in a blessing, because in most situations where we're working, we're working with other people, that we can be a blessing to them, we can be a blessing to the company we work for, the company we volunteer for, we can be a blessing to the family that we're serving at home, or the relatives that we're looking after. If God blesses us, He blesses us so that we can be a blessing. But for Joseph, when he was sold into slavery in Potiphar's house, it looked like a dead-end job. a slave in a wealthy man's house, not the job he would have chosen. And for some of us in employment, it might sometimes feel a bit like being enslaved to the company. So much is often demanded of us in work life that we perhaps feel that it's almost like we're enslaved to the company. Joseph could have lamented his lot in life. He could have felt, God, you'd never have let this happen. But instead, he decided with God's help, he would seek to serve as best he could. And God's help is exactly what he had, because we read the Lord was with Joseph. This is the first time we encounter this phrase in the story of Joseph, but it reoccurs several times. And it is really the reason why Joseph's life took the direction that it did, because the Lord was with him. He was in control. And however grim things might have seemed to be at times for Joseph, God was with him and God was working his purposes out. Joseph encountered God, not in the place of worship, not in church, but he encountered God in work, because it said God was with him. So that's where he met God. That's where he felt God's hand upon his life. It was in work. And for me, that was a tremendous encouragement that God could be with me in work and help me in that situation. And the fact that the favor of God was upon Joseph became evident to his master. And Joseph receives his first promotion. Now just think about that. What had Joseph been doing previously? While his brothers had been out traveling for miles to find food for the family flocks, Joseph lounged around the family tents, possibly rejoicing in that beautiful coat that he'd been given by his dad. So this was Joseph's first experience of responsibility. But now you see, Joseph was in God's training program. God was preparing him for something he had in store, and he was going to use this situation of work to train Joseph. And it seems to me that God often uses the same strategy. For many Christians, work is God's training program. And that was certainly true for me. When I finished university, one of the big needs I had in my life was to be willing to take responsibility. Volunteering was not on my radar. I avoided responsibility like it were a fatally contagious disease. And thank you. Anyway, I started in my first job as a management trainee. And my job as a management trainee, it was a 2-year assignment. I would spend several months in each of the different departments of the company with very few responsibilities. For me, it was the ideal job. And I was really looking forward to what was in store. But God had other plans. Within a short time, I was summoned to the managing director's office and asked to take on the role of production controller. I was so shocked by this and so confused by it that on the drive home, I went right past the junction I should have left, the M1, and it was only when my Austin A40 started to struggle up the hill south of the junction that I thought to myself, hang on, I don't usually go up this hill on the way home. And I had to drive for several miles before I could turn around and go where I should have gone. Anyway, I accepted the job, and I had no idea what I was letting myself in for. After 1 week in which the various aspects of the job were explained to me by the general manager, I found myself responsible, there's that terrible R word, responsible for 14 staff, and for scheduling manufacture in 5 different locations, one of which was in Wales, one of which was in Scotland, and we were in the Midlands in Alfreton. And I had to ensure that all of these factories had enough work in progress to keep them all in employment. I wish I could say that I had the sort of experience that Joseph had, that God was with me and gave me success in everything. But it wasn't like that. Yes, God was with me, but he was doing something very different. And I often at times felt like a drowning man, barely keeping my head above water. My staff knew I were Christians, and there were so many frustrations in the job that one of the ladies who sat beside me said to me, "Go on, swear, it'll do you good." And they knew as a Christian I didn't swear. But obviously I realized, you know, the pressure is showing. I might not swear, but I'm actually showing the pressure. But you know something? It was about a year later that I realized that God was in this situation, that he had orchestrated this, and he was teaching me to carry responsibility. About a year later, I was put in charge of various work projects to regenerate a Baptist church building. And things kept going wrong, as they do. We kept running out of materials. We kept hitting problems. And the whole of the week, I went through without flapping at all. And at the end of that week, I went for a walk with a friend, and I thought, you know, I know now what God's been doing in my life this past year. He has been teaching me the lesson I didn't want to learn, how to carry responsibility. Joseph served faithfully, and he had success in everything he did, but then things went badly for him. He was falsely accused of sexual harassment and put in prison. Now, this was even more of a dead-end job than working in Potiphar's house had seemed at first. But once again, God blessed him. He found favor with the prison warden, and soon he would be entrusted with wide-ranging responsibilities. And we're going to read another section from Genesis. While Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he made him responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Excuse me. Joseph had been sold as a slave, and now he was a prisoner. He was facing a bleak future, and he hadn't chosen any of this. But Joseph decided he would seek to serve the prison warden as best he could. And God blessed that decision and gave him favor with the warden. And soon again he would be entrusted with wide-ranging responsibilities. And this morning, that might be a challenge to some of us who feel we are carrying heavy responsibilities. Perhaps that might be at work, or in the home, or within the family. Perhaps caring for demanding children, or aged relatives. Responsibilities we would not have chosen. But whatever responsibility God has placed upon you, are you serving faithfully? Well, Joseph was in God's training program. God was shaping his character for the responsibilities he would later give to him. Jesus taught his disciples, "He who is faithful in little is faithful also in much." And it seems to me that's what Joseph was discovering. As he was faithful in serving God in all those situations which he didn't choose to be in, God was preparing him for future responsibilities. At the time, he was unaware of the future that God had for him. One day, he would be second in command for the whole of Egypt. But right now, he wasn't serving Pharaoh. He was serving a prison warden. But for Joseph, the underlying value of his life was that he was serving God. Whether he served Potiphar or in prison or in the palace, he was serving God. In both situations, he served God. And for those of who are Christians, this should also be true. This verse in Colossians says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. I want you to notice the widespread application of that. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, because you're serving Christ. And then there's one final lesson from Joseph's story before we finish. After Joseph had been in prison for some years, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and his chief baker offended him, and they too were thrown into prison. And some time later, both of them had dreams which disturbed them. And we pick up the story in Genesis 40. When Joseph came to them in the morning and saw them, they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his master's house, why are your faces downcast today? They said to him, we have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, I pray you. Up to this moment, Joseph, you must admit, had had a pretty raw deal. He was sold by his brothers. He served as a slave. He was falsely accused, falsely imprisoned. He could have become resentful. He could have become very self-absorbed. But each situation, he sought to serve faithfully. And what I want you to notice in this passage was how he remained sensitive to the needs of others. He noticed that the cupbearer and baker were dejected, and he showed them concern. He asked, why are your faces downcast today? And what did they say? He said, we both had dreams. I just think about that for a moment. How might Joseph have reacted? He had dreams. He had dreams of greatness. He had dreams that his family would bow down to him. And now he was in prison. If I'd been Joseph, I would have been tempted to say, don't talk to me about dreams, mate. I've had my dreams, and look where it's landed me. But he wasn't like that. Despite his own situation, he had a concern for others. And he still had confidence in God. And he still had confidence in his dreams, despite where he was. And so he asked them to share his dreams. You know, sometimes when we're going through difficult experiences, we can become very self-absorbed, isolated, and insensitive to the needs of others. And serving the needs of others can help break that downward cycle of self-pity. Caring for the needs of others is a very Christian value and a way of showing love. This is what Paul writes to the Philippians. In humility, value others above yourself, looking not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. One of the ways I found I could express my Christian faith at work was in the value I placed upon my staff. In the company I worked for, people were largely regarded as a disposable resource to ensure production. During my time in industry, I attended the funeral services of several workshop managers who died of heart attacks. That was the sort of pressure that people were under at work. People were regarded largely just as a resource. And I had a boss who seemed to think that you could solve any problem if you found out who was responsible and swore at him long enough and hard enough, that would seem to solve the problem. And this was not just an attitude of my boss, but it came from the very top down. And so the result of that was that everybody sought to find someone else to pin the responsibility on. If something went wrong, the key question was not what went wrong and how do we fix it. It was who could I blame other than myself? And that permeated the whole company. And so I decided as a Christian, I would not treat my staff that way. If something went wrong, the buck would stop at me. I wouldn't then accuse my staff, even if they'd made mistakes. I was responsible. And I thought, I'm going to treat my staff with respect. I'm not going to join in this blame culture. So if anything went wrong, I didn't blame myself. And I can tell you, things often went wrong. The thing about production control is if everything is going fine, that's just how it should be. And it never is. And as soon as anything goes wrong, somebody has to be blamed. And that was a complaint from the top of the management structure. Something would go wrong, the MD would shout at the production director, who would shout at the product controller, who would shout at one of the production controllers, who would then shout at his staff, and some, you know, junior member of staff would end up carrying the responsibility for what had gone wrong. And one of the things I felt as a Christian, I can show that I value people more than that, and I will treat my staff with respect. As we read the account of Joseph's life, we frequently are reminded that the Lord was with Joseph. And we too can know God's presence with us in our everyday lives. That's why Jesus came into our world, to deal with the sin that separates us from God. His death was a sacrifice that secured our forgiveness and enabled our relationship with God. This is how the easy-to-read Bible expresses it. God gave Jesus a way to forgive people's sins through their faith in him. God can forgive them because the blood sacrifice of Jesus pays for their sins. And because of that, we can come into a relationship with God, and we can have the assurance of this promise. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God will be with us always. And every one of us can have that everyday experience of having God's presence with us in the challenges and the ups and downs of everyday life. Because once we put our faith in Jesus, his presence will be with us in whatever we face. Some of you may not have taken that step yet. And we're going to end by watching a short video that illustrates the significance of Jesus' death and how we can respond.
God loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to help us on our journey through life and into eternity. However, we have chosen to go our own way. Our sins have caused a separation between God and us. Most of us are aware of this separation, and we try to get right with God by doing good works. To work our way to heaven, we'd have to be perfect, but no one is. We all sin and fall short of God's standards. The Bible says the penalty for our sins is death, spiritual separation from God forever. These words, alone, pain, lost, separated, forever, describe that kind of experience. But God doesn't want that to happen to anyone. So God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He sent Christ to die, to provide a bridge so we could cross over to God. These words, love, hope, peace, trust, friend, and future, describe what comes from a relationship with Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for us. He paid the penalty for our sins and rose again to prove he is the Savior of the world. It's not enough just to know this. To cross over to God, we need to personally receive Christ by asking him to forgive us and come into our lives. Ask yourself, does this make sense to you? Where are you? Where do you see yourself on this diagram? Would you like to receive Christ and cross over to God? You can receive Christ right now by faith through prayer. Prayer is talking with God. It is your heart talking to God's heart. Here's a suggested prayer. Lord Jesus, I need you. Please forgive me for all the things I've done wrong. Please come into my life and begin to lead me. I pray this as sincerely as I know how. Amen. Does this prayer express the desire of your heart? If it does, we can pray right now and Christ will forgive you and come into your life as he promised. Just visualize Christ looking at you. You talk to him from your heart and I'll lead you through the prayer phrase by phrase. Okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you for dying for my sins. Please forgive me for all the things I've done wrong. Please come into my life and begin to lead me. God, I need you. I pray this as sincerely as I know how. Amen. Wonderful! Now, the moment you received Christ, many things happened to you, including eternal life. Whenever you close your eyes for the last time here on earth, you will open them in God's presence in heaven forever. Sins forgiven. God has forgiven all your sins, even the ones no one else knows about. Personal relationship. You've begun a personal friendship with Christ that can continue to grow and deepen throughout the rest of your life. Never leave you.
And if you've never prayed a prayer like that, can I encourage you to consider it and begin this new adventure? As I look back on my life, there's been many ups and downs, but it's been an adventure walking with Jesus. And there have been great times and there's been challenges, but at every step of the way, I know he has been with me. And many of the hard times have been times when he has been teaching me lessons which I needed to learn, like carrying responsibility. That was a big one. So that I could better serve him. So, and if you feel you haven't made that step yet, but you're not ready to, there are many of us here who would like to help you understand what's involved in that. And just finally, for those of us who are involved in paid work, as I was sort of preparing for this week, I used this as one of the short series of Bible devotions available in the Bible app. And if you're involved in work, I suggest you might want to sort of perhaps use that. It's just a short time, the 5 days of readings and meditations on those readings and scripture. And it might be something that you might find useful. We've been thinking this morning about God's presence, how God's presence was with Joseph. I could say many more things about work life, but there's not time. The experiences and lessons I learned working in manufacturing industry were things I would never have learned working in church. But God is at work in every one of our lives, and whether that's working situations or other challenges in our lives, God can use every one of those to shape us, to teach us, and to reveal himself to us in those situations.